What if there was more to life than simply getting ahead? What if there was less stress to make it or break it? What if it was less about deadlines and to-do lists, but more about meaningful relationships? What if you could be more of who you were created to be and less of what others expected you to be? If somebody were to say you would get more out of life by making yourself less, what would you say? What if you gave it a shot? What if you were able to become more by being a servant to those around you who have less? What if you decide? Do you want more or less?
Friendship. I hope you've had a good morning so far. You sound fantastic singing this morning. We are starting a brand new series today called More Less. And the idea behind this series is taking a passage of scripture where Jesus Christ talks in the book of Luke chapter 6. And he gathers his disciples around and those who were close, and he begins to talk to them about how it is that God wants us to be in this world. How it is that God wants us to interact with other people. How it is that God wants us to work through this world. And the big picture, before we get into it, the big picture is that God is saying, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to be less about yourself, trying to push yourself and your agenda and what you want, and I want you to be more about doing things my way. I want you to be more about following the process and the things that I've laid out. I want you to invest more of who you are in how I say things are supposed to be so that I can make you more. Because God's desire in each of our lives is to take us and grow us and help us become the men and the women that God's called us to be. God has a desire to use us to bring glory to himself so that he can actually transform us into people that can make a difference in other people's lives. And so the passage is Luke chapter 6. It's verses 37 through 38. And he begins this way. He says, listen, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down and shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount that you give will determine the amount that you get back. God is saying, listen, when you invest through me, when you use your abilities and your strengths and your character and the things that you say and the things that you do, and you do it in the fashion that I've said, I promise that I will give you a full return plus on what you've done through me. Now, oftentimes, if you've been in church for a while and you've heard this passage, it's almost always followed up with, and now the church budget is a little light this year. And now there's truth to that. There's truth where the Bible says that this certainly has to do with the area of finances. As we give, God blesses us back, not necessarily financially, but God does bless us back. But to use it just in that context falls way short of what Jesus Christ is saying here. Jesus Christ is talking about a whole life example, a whole life purpose of how we're supposed to use everything within us and invest it in the way that God says. God says, listen, if you truly want to make a difference, Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you truly want to do that, you need to be a person who's a giver. You need to be able to be willing to give to help people and their needs and that type of thing. You need to be a person who resists condemning other people, knocking other people down, tearing other people down. You need to be a person who resists being quick to judge. You know, we all do it, right? You walk through the mall or you're driving down the road and you see somebody and they're dressed a certain way, and immediately your mind begins to formulate this whole idea behind who they are, right? That's judging. To be able to look at somebody and not understand their situation, that type of thing. He says, listen, that's not the way I want you to do it. And then also he says, listen, we need to be people who are quick to forgive. Not holding grudges. Now, I'm not going to ask, but I know that, you know, some of us tend to be really good at holding on to things. And the Bible says that if you really want to be great in the way that God sees things, you need to be quick to forgive, to let go of those things so that you can be the man or the woman that God's called you to be. And what's amazing is that Jesus doesn't just say this and say, now listen, I'm God, therefore do it because I'm God. And oftentimes we think that that's the way God is, right? God's like, listen, I'm God, I'm bigger than you are, I'm stronger than you are, do it or I'll squish you like a bug. But that's not what he says here. In fact, what he says is if you will do this, if you will do what I'm asking you to do in the way that I'm asking you to do that, I will bless you. And I will bless you in a way that you cannot even begin to imagine. And he uses this perfect picture. And I am not a baker. I grill. That's about all I do. I grill. But when Tracy and I were dating, for one of our Valentine's days, we were at my grandparents' house in Horseheads, New York. It's a real place. I'll tell you the story about it if you want to know about it. It was Horseheads, New York. And I decided that I was going to make a huge one cookie shaped in a heart. Chocolate chip cookie shaped in a heart. That's so sweet. I'm so happy. So anyways, so I'm really not much of a baker, so I'm following the recipe on the back of the Nestle, you know, morsels thing, and I'm reading along, and I'm going to put it all in there, and I apparently misread the half a teaspoon of baking soda and put half a cup of baking soda. Now, no one knew at first. When I pulled it out, like it was beautiful, it was crispy and golden brown, it was fantastic, it was gooey, and I presented it to my future wife, and I said, here, I made this for you, and fortunately, I didn't say, this represents my love, because it was awful, and she takes a bite, and she bites into it, and she literally, the first thing she says is, did you follow the directions, and I'm like, I'm wounded. What do you mean that I follow the directions? I said, yes, I followed them precisely. And I went over and I started reading through and I said, The reason I'm telling you that is because Jesus uses a perfect analogy here. If you've ever baked before, you've ever used flour before, you know this. And they tell you, listen, you need half a cup of flour, but you don't press it down, right? Because the air within the flour gives you the proper measurement. What Jesus says is, listen, here's the deal. You do it my way, and here's what I'm going to do. You put the flour in there, and I'm going to shake it down, first of all, get all the air out of it, and then I'm going to pound it down as hard as I can, compact it, compress it, and then I'm going to pour more in there, and when it gets to the top, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep pouring. And it's going to overflow into your life more than you can ever imagine if you are willing, at least in the eyes of the world, to make yourself less so that I can make you more. Today we're going to talk about influence. Now, influence really, the most simple definition of influence is having the capacity to make a change. Having the capacity to do something that makes a difference. Having the capacity to have an effect on something. And we all want to be people of influence. And I'll give you a perfect example that you may go, oh, I don't care if I have influence or not. Well, let's think about it. You want to be a person who is taken seriously. You want to be a person who, when you say something, you want it to matter. You want to be a person that when you give an opinion, that opinion has weight. You go, well, I don't know. Let me just tell you, if you are in a conversation with someone, right, and you're talking maybe in a group setting, or maybe it's just a couple of you, and you're talking in a group setting, and you are sharing what you think about something, and in the middle of your sentence, someone else begins to talk, how do you feel right then? It makes you feel all warm and gushy inside, right? It makes you want to go over and hug them around the neck with your hands. Because what did they just do? They just stepped on your value. They just stepped on the things that you were saying. And so immediately you were going, man, I felt like I was contributing something really important and influential and it would make sense. And they just talked right over the top of you like you didn't matter. See, we all want to be people of influence. We all want to be able to make a difference. We all want to be able to have an effect. We all want our opinions and our things to matter. And so influence is what we're talking about today, and I know we all want it. We all want influence in some way, shape, or form. And Jesus, at a later point in Mark chapter 10, calls his closest followers, his disciples, together. And he said, guys, you are going to be entrusted with the church. I'm going to give you my message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the thing that I have called and chosen to change the world, to point people to God so that they can have a relationship with God through me. This is so important for you guys to understand what it means to be people of influence. Now, what's crazy is the people that he picked were about the least influential people you could pick. I mean, they were fishermen and they were religious zealots. Today, I think we call them terrorists. Just throwing it out there. I mean, that's what these people did. They literally do cause problems and that type of thing because they were so passionate about their beliefs and trying to overthrow the Roman government and all those things. He had tax collectors. I don't even think I need to describe what that is. I mean, no one likes that, period. And so these are the people that he picked. And he says, I want to tell you guys how to be influential. And they're like, awesome, because we're not. Here's what he says. Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45. So Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those who are under them. Now, I'm certain that none of you have ever experienced this. You've never been in a position with a boss who maybe, you know, loved power and authority. You've never had a supervisor that, you know, walked in and told you to do it a certain way just because. You've never had somebody that, you know, that literally, you know, walked in and said, this is the way we're going to do it. This is what I want you to do. And if you don't like it, that's tough because I'm the boss. You know, something I learned a long time ago. If you're constantly saying and having to say, I'm the boss, you're probably not the boss. Just, you know, that's just the way it works. Because you don't have to say it. You are. You lead by that way. And so Jesus says, listen, this is how we see it in the world. The world is all wrapped up in position. It's all about your title. It's all about how much power you are perceived to have. That's why hundreds of millions of dollars are spent every 4 years for one person to get a position that pays $400,000 a year. It's called the President of the United States, by the way. Because we see position as influence. You think about it, and that's exactly the way our world sees everything. If you have the title of boss, you are an influencer. If you are the person who's the supervisor, you're the leader. You're the leader. You're the influencer. And Jesus says, listen, that's the way the world sees it. That's not how I see it. But among you, it will be different. I love the fact that he doesn't say it should be different. He doesn't say, hey, you know what, guys? Maybe you should consider this. He's saying, no, if you are in what I am doing, if you are going to do what I have asked, it's not going to be like that. That's not the way I've called you to be. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must first be your servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. The big idea, I always like to give you one thing you can kind of hang your hat on. If you forget everything else, don't forget this. It's very simple. Leaders who last learn to serve. Leaders who last learn to serve. Now, I want to be very careful in this because oftentimes this passage of scripture is taken to say that leaders are all to be just serving, and they're not to have their own desire or goals or plans that are listening to everybody, and everyone's supposed to have equal impact. By the way, that's not leading. That's called, I don't know what that's called, but we'll just leave it at that. That's not leading. Because if we look at Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ said, listen, I came to be a servant, right? Would anyone say that Jesus didn't have authority? I mean, we look at his life, right? He like tells the wind to stop and it stops. That's pretty impressive. He tells the rain to stop and, you know, the sun to shine and there you go. It's all fantastic. He's got a lot of authority. He's got a lot of power. But he didn't walk around telling everyone, hey, I've got all this authority and power. He didn't necessarily walk around always exerting all of his authority and power. So it doesn't mean that if you're a leader, you're not supposed to have authority, you're not supposed to have power, you're not supposed to... No, it means that you are always supposed to exert that authority in the understanding and in the role of how can it best serve those who are following me. That's what it means to be a servant leader. To be able to think of others, not just of yourself. Jesus is emphasizing a great truth here. He's saying in our world, it's all about position. It's all about getting to the top so that you can finally be an influencer. But he says, listen, it doesn't work that way. If you truly want to be an influencer, you've got to cultivate influence by learning and trusting and having people trust you who are underneath your leadership. You've got to earn the privilege of leading, not try to gain the right of leading. Because those that follow you are the ones that make you a leader. He said, now hang on a second, time out. I thought we were talking about influence. We are. John Maxwell, if you go to any library, any bookstore, and you go underneath leadership, you know, the category of leadership, you're going to find about 180 books by John Maxwell. He is like the guru of leadership. I think he sneezes and he writes a new book. And it's just fantastic. It's a bestseller. Because he's been in leadership his whole life. And he has literally invested himself in helping other people learn how to be better leaders, and specifically better leaders in God's economy and how things work. And John Maxwell, years and years and years ago, one of his very first books, wrote this statement down. And the first time I read it, it was probably about 25 years ago, I thought, I'm not so sure. But here's the statement. Leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. Leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. Now, at first you might go, well, yeah, but what about, but think about it this way. If you have influence, the capacity to affect, make change, or make a difference, you're a leader. If you have the ability that your opinion actually counts and actually shapes how other people do things, you are, in fact, not just an influencer, you are a leader. But if we take it and we turn it around, listen to this. If we take it and turn it around, you can be a leader in title, but if you have no influence, are you a leader at all? You're really not. In fact, if you go through that process and you work it through and you think it through, you go, you know what? Anyone who has ever been a good leader first was a person of influence because they had done the right thing and they'd worked the right process, and we're going to talk about that process this morning. I'm going to give you five L's. I rarely do this, but I had fun putting this together, coming up with all the L words. Five L's of building your leadership influence. And here's the cool part about influence and the fact that it turns into leadership. A lot of people think that they're not leaders. A lot of people think that they don't have the ability to lead. But here's what's so powerful about this truth, that leadership is influence, nothing more and nothing less. If you're willing to simply do what's necessary to build influence, you are a leader. You can make a difference. One person does matter if that one person is willing to do things the way that God's called them to do things. So here are the five L's of building your leadership influence. Number one, love people, don't use people. Love people, don't use people. Your agenda, and sometimes we say agenda and it's a bad thing. I'm not saying it as a bad thing. It's your goals, your plans. If you're a leader, if you want to be an influencer, should never trump a person. And here's what I mean by that, because I know some of you are like, whoa, hang on a second. You mean we've got this huge group and we're trying to move in this direction and one person's in the back going, no, I think that stinks. I don't like that idea. We should stop the presses and let one person hold everything hostage? No. But what does the world say if you've got that one person who's standing in the way? What are you supposed to do? Just run right over it. They can't stop you. You know, rev up the engine and let them know you're serious. And just tire tracks right across their face. That'll take care of them. They'll never stand up again. And that is devaluing that person. Here is how you handle it. Instead, you actually go to that person. You have a conversation with that person. You hear from that person. You go, hey, I hear you. However, this is what we're doing. I love you, but this is what we're doing. You treat them as a human being instead of an obstacle to be overcome. And you go, why do we do that? That takes so much time. Isn't it so much easier just to hit the gas pedal? I mean, it's so much easier. Here's why. Because people matter to God. And if people matter to God, they better matter to us. The Bible says this, Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. So how much are we supposed to do out of our own selfish desires? Bupkis, nothing. Nothing is supposed to be done simply by what we want to be done. He says, rather in humility, and I love this, value others above yourself. If you are going to truly have great influence and be a person of influence, if you're going to be a leader who lasts, you need to learn to love people, don't use people. And I tell you, it's really easy to use people. It is really easy to look at people, see what they can do for you, and use them. And when they're no longer of value, drop them. God says that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to love people, not use people. Second thing, don't just love people, don't use people. Lead people, don't drive people. Lead people, don't drive people. Now, we actually know this. It's a part of our culture. You've heard these expressions before, and you go, oh, that's kind of what, it makes sense when you put it this way. I'll let you finish it for me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Stupid horse. It's thirsty. Why won't it drink? It puts some salt in its mouth. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You cannot force somebody to do something. Now, there are a lot of people out there that believe that that's what leadership is. Is you are forcing people to do something. But God said, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You are to lead people, not drive people. A great expression I heard a guy use several years ago, as a leader, you lead. So if you think about it this way, if you are on one end of the rope and your followers are on the other, you've got to learn how to pull the rope, not push the rope, because you can't push a rope. You've got to lead people, which means you have to be out in front. You have to actually be leading people in a direction that you are currently going. You can't say, let me lead you, go over there. That's not leading. That's directing. Maybe you would make a fantastic safety cop, but you're not a leader. You're not an influencer. Look what the Bible says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3. It says, don't lord it over the people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own what? Good example. It is really hard to lead people in a direction that you yourself are not going. I love this ancient Chinese proverb. He who thinks he leads and has no one following him is only taking a walk. That's fantastic, isn't it? First time I heard that, I just chuckled, because you know what? There's a lot of people who call themselves leaders, but in the end, they're beginning to realize they're only out on a very long walk. Because the people who follow you are what makes you a leader. This idea of leading from the back, how does that work? It's an oxymoron. You have to be in front doing what God's called you to do so that everyone else can do what they're called to do. That's what it means to lead people, not drive people. Love people, don't use people. Lead people, don't drive people. Listen to people, don't talk at people. Listen to people, don't talk at people. Now, I know someone's going, oh yeah? Well, you're talking at us for the last 20 minutes. All right. There is a point in time where the leader has to talk, right? If the leader doesn't communicate, if the leader doesn't show, hey, this is what we're doing, this is what God's called us to do, this is what I think we should do, then there is chaos. So the leader has to learn how to talk. But what I'm talking about is specifically when there's a choice to be made. Maybe there's a conflict. Maybe there's an obstacle. Maybe there's something that's standing in the way, or somebody that you're working with is struggling with a decision. One of the best things you can do as a leader in that moment is to shut up and listen. I learned something a long time ago, that if you are the only one talking, you're not getting any fresh insights. Let's process that through for a second. If you're in a group meeting and you have the greatest ideas in the world and you're just, my wife calls it, verbally vomiting over everyone. That's a picture for you. Just let that, yeah. And you're just talking nonstop, guess what? You're not learning anything. In fact, you're proving a proverb. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2, a fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. If you love the sound of your own voice, if it enthralls you and, you know, puts you on an emotional high to hear yourself talk, the reality is you're probably acting like a fool because you cannot gain any fresh insights if you're the only one doing the talking. One of the greatest tools in an influencer's hand is a question. Ask why. What did you do before? How did that work? What's your process now? What are you thinking is the best thing to do? Now, that's not giving up the decision making. It's helping you gain insight and information and understanding so that you can make the best decision possible. One of the best things, if you're an influencer, that you can do in a situation like that is just to keep quiet and listen. It is amazing what people will tell you when they feel like they have to fill the silence. It's amazing what people will tell you when you just kind of let silence hang there and see what they say. And as a leader, it's one of the best things that you can do. Maybe you go, well, you know what? I'm just not great in this area. This is not something I feel like I am absolutely incapable of being able to have a good conversation and lead through things. Let me give you some encouragement. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28 says this: even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. If you're in a meeting and you don't have anything to say, you know what? The best thing you can do is sit there and be quiet. And everyone will walk out of that room going, man, did you see the look on his face as he was listening intently to everything that was going on? Maybe you were thinking about where you wanted to go for lunch, but you were quiet. And everyone's going, that right there, that's an influencer. That dude's wise. And look at this. He says, when he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. It's like another proverb, you know? Rather to be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, okay? So sometimes the best thing to do is just to sit and listen. And you know, if you are wise and you are good at those things, don't worry about impressing people. Instead, listen so that you can help them make the best decision possible. Because remember, it's about you serving them so they can become who God's called them to be. So love people, don't use people. Lead people, don't drive people. Listen to people, don't talk at people. Lift people up, don't push people down. Lift people up, don't push people down. It's funny, you read any leadership book, and any leadership book will say the same thing. Oh, you gotta have to value people, you gotta do this. But in the real world, when it comes to business, 9 times out of 10, the way that people get to the top is on top of other people. They step on them, they get over them, they use them, they, you know, when they're no longer of value, they put them aside, and they finally get to the top. And the reason that people do that is they think if they can get that position, then they can make a difference. Then they can be an influence. Here's the problem. If that's the way you got to the top, all the people that are under you and follow you, they hate you. And you can't do anything about it. And you go, I don't understand. I'm the boss and no one's listening. Maybe because you screwed them all over on the way to getting the boss. See, God says that's not how you're supposed to do it. Instead, what you should be doing is lifting people up, building people up. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests. And I want to pause for a second here because oftentimes this verse is used incorrectly as well. And people say, see, you are not supposed to look out for your own interests at all. Does it say that? No, it says do not merely. In other words, don't just consider yourself in the decisions that you make. Instead, take a step back and ask the question, how is this going to impact other people? Do you know, usually the problems that we make in life and the poor decisions that we make in life, the reason we made those poor decisions is because we never took a breath and asked, how will this impact others? How will it change their life if I choose to do this? And Paul here in Philippians says, listen, don't just look out for your own interests. Think about how it's going to impact others. He finishes it this way. He says, but also for the interests of others. Because a leader who lasts learns to serve. And we're not supposed to push people down. We're to build each other up. In fact, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11 says this. So encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. Now, some of you may go, well, the context of that is within the local church. We're just supposed to build each other up. So, if that's what we say, that it's only for the local church, then that means that the people around us who don't know Jesus Christ, we can tear them down and use them, right? Because that's the way. No. The application of this is the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of Scripture, saying this is how you are supposed to treat each other regardless of the circumstance. Look for a way to be encouraging and building up. Do you know sometimes, and I'll tell you what, it takes work. It's a whole lot easier just to give in and do it the way you want to. But you know, even when you're telling somebody no, you can be encouraging to them. You ever had somebody do that for you? Like, man, wow, what a fantastic idea. Now, in our current situation, that's probably not going to work. But man, what a great idea, great job. And you walk away like, I just got told no, and I feel great. That's awesome. Because they valued you. And I don't, 9 times out of 10, it's probably not fluff. It's real. It's like, man, that was a great idea, but we can't do it right now. But you encourage them, you build them up. You see, that's what a good leader does. Last one. Laugh with people and cry with people. Laugh with people and cry with people. You cannot be disconnected from the people that you want to influence. It's really hard to be a leader if you don't spend time with those who are following. You cannot influence anyone other than yourself if you're on an island. It just can't happen. So if you truly want to build your leadership influence, you've got to actually spend time with people. You've got to be real with people. Allow them to be real with you. Laugh with them, cry with them. Look at what the Bible says here in Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those who weep. I am a very analytical, logic-oriented thinker when it comes to decision making. I know this is probably going to come as a tremendous shock to many of you. I'm not real emotional. I know you're stunned. And so, you know, when you think that way, it can become really, really easy to begin to look at the process and to become enamored with programs and to love the outcome. Can I tell you something? Processes and programs and buildings, they don't change people's lives. You know what changes people's lives? People change people. You see, that's why this is so important. You cannot forget the fact that the people that you're leading are the ones that God has called you to serve. If you don't know anything about them, if you don't spend any time with them, how in the world are you going to serve them in a way that matters? That's why one of the things that I've challenged our staff with, one of the things that we try to do, I mean, Sunday mornings is when we have most of our interaction with most of you. Some of you we see outside the week, but 9 times out of 10, it's here. And so we're like, listen, in between services, don't go hide in a corner somewhere. You know, I don't want anyone to touch me. Okay, well, you know what? Yeah, the flu's going around. Get over it. You know, do what I do in the back. I literally have Anthony showing my antibacterial stuff back there. I literally have that back there. I'm not kidding. Because I'm like, yeah. Because, this, you know, shaking a couple hundred people's hands, you're going to get it all over you. That's just the way it is. But listen, here's the thing. If you don't allow yourself to connect with people, people aren't going to trust you to lead. If you value the program or the process or the outcome more than you do people, you're missing the point. And so you've got to spend time with people. You've got to enjoy them and allow them to enjoy you. Laugh with people and cry with people. Now, I think if we're all honest, we can all say that we want to be people of influence. We all want to matter. There are two ways to go about trying to achieve that. There's the world's way, which says get the position, get the title. If you can get the position and you can get the title, then you can make a difference. There's God's way. If you will learn how to serve, if you will learn how to love people, you will become a person of influence. And oh, by the way, when you become a person of influence, you'll become a leader and you'll make a difference. Those are the two ways. God's promise is that he will give you abundant blessings beyond anything that you can even contain. He will give you so much that it will overflow to all those around you. But it's really hard because doing it God's way seems like you're settling for less. It seems like it's the long route. But God's promise is this. If you are willing to, in the eyes of the world, make yourself less, I promise you will be more.